Let's pray. Request. Yes.
Everything good?
Just C-section.
But it's hospital. Okay. Everything's
yeah.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given us and for this time together. That you be with us and help us in our understanding. Help us grow. Let's be more like Christ. Please bless our brethren in Mexico, especially to think of Pedro and his wife and family. Thank you for that. Also be Floyd and Jessica, brethren there, Brian and Erica, and brethren in other countries as well. In Jesus, amen. Okay, we're ready for Psalm 74. Short psalm of 11 verses. It says in the heading here, "For the end, do not corrupt." A psalm of an ode for Asaph. We give thanks to you, O God. We shall give thanks and call upon your name. I shall describe all your wonders. When I seize the opportunity, I shall judge these rightly. The earth is dissolved, and all its inhabitants. I made firm its pillars. I said to those who transgress the law, "Do not transgress the law." And to those who sin, I said, "Do not exalt yourselves. Do not boast in yourselves. Do not accuse God of wrongdoing. For judgment comes neither from the sunrise nor the sunset, nor from the mountains of the deserts. For God is judge. This one he brings down low, and that one he raises up. For the cup in the Lord's hand is full of unmixed wine, a drink poured out, and he tipped it from side to side, but its dregs were not emptied out. All sinners of the earth shall drink them, but I shall greatly rejoice forever. I shall sing to the God of Jacob. All the horns of sinners I shall crush, but the horns of the righteous man shall be exalted." See if we can glean some thoughts here from these verses. First off, we shall give thanks to you, O God. We shall give thanks and call upon your name. And then it ends up with, "I shall greatly rejoice forever. I shall sing to the God of Jacob." And then it says, "I shall describe all your wonders. When I seize the opportunity, I shall judge these rightly. The earth is dissolved, and all its inhabitants." It seems to be comparing all of us to God, and that we're nothing compared to Him. He made the pillars of the earth. And then in verse 6, do not boast in yourselves. Do not accuse God of wrongdoing. That is pretty common in the world that we live in today. People want to know that if there's a God, then why do these things happen? Bad things happen, you know. Why would he let something bad happen? So therefore, accusing him basically of allowing something bad to happen, or in that, accusing or asserting that, or saying that there is no God, or one or the other. So both of them are wrong. And then says, because judgment comes neither from the sunrise nor the sunset. So we don't get judgment from the east or the west, or from the mountains. We don't get it from beholding the sunrise or the sunset, or looking at the mountains. Those things are inspiring and beautiful, but judgment comes from God. For God is judge. So we can look, and men do that. They look to everything they can understand, all their knowledge of how things work, about the earth, and the way that the sun goes up and down, and the way that they think the mountains were formed, and they come up with all these ideas on all these things about creation, and they become foolish in their vain imaginations, it says in Romans, because they think that they understand these things, but they don't, because they've become the judges instead of letting God be the judge. This one he brings down, and that one he raises up. Men think because they do all that they do, they'll be great. Or that they don't do what they should do, that they'll be low or made low or bad or go down. And to some degree, that's right. But God is actually the one that brings men up or lowers men. He's the one that sets events in place so that men are exalted or abased or brought low. So that's in his power. Because there's men that strive and strive and strive to be somebody or be rich and never make it. And then there are men that don't do hardly anything and just seems to fall into their lap. And that's, I don't understand all that. But that tells us that it's not our doing altogether. Although we have something to do with it, he still is the final one that determines or judges what's going to happen, or what he's going to allow to happen. Like kingdoms and nations of the earth, they go he exalts certain countries. Right now, America is exalted in the world. They're a big name in the world. They've been that way for 100 and some years. They've been what's called a superpower in the earth. But if time permits and they continue in evil, he'll probably bring them down, just like he has all other nations. And they think that they've done it by their own power. And that's what all the nations that have ever become great seem to have done, is get powerful and then forget God. And then other countries, he seems to make always struggle, or always poor, or always, you just see that in history, looking down through history. And why, I don't know altogether. And that's not for us to know necessarily. But we do see it, and we can watch that happen, and we see that right here. He brings down low one, and the other he raises up. For the cup in the Lord's hand is full of unmixed wine, a drink poured out. And he tipped it from side to side, but its dregs were not emptied out. Now, I'm not sure what all this means, but we think of a cup in the Lord's hand that's got wine in it, but it's not mixed with water. It's the pure stuff. It's the real thing. And you can think of that in one way as though it were his wrath, the cup of the Lord's wrath. And he tipped it from side to side and it spilled out on the earth and on man, but never to its fullest extent like it will in the end. And then all sinners of the earth shall drink them, the dregs, what's in the bottom of the cup, the dirtiest part of it, what's left. But I shall greatly rejoice forever. I shall sing to the God of Jacob. All the horns of sinners I shall crush, but the horns of the righteous man shall be exalted. Horns is symbolic of the strength of a man. And the strength of sinners shall be crushed. I mean, they may look like right now that they're really going for it and that they've got everything under control and that they're really on top of things and have everything as they want it. But that's only for a short time. But the horns of the righteous man, who may not now appear like things are very well, things that he's really anything in the world, but he's living righteously. Those horns, those strengths, those strong points, what his strengths are, will be exalted in that day. And there's another example of he brings down and he raises up. Okay. What was your assignment?
I was to read the Solomon and the Theory Answer.
Okay, we'll start with you, Roger.
Answer
questions. Okay. Well, I'll just ask some questions. What about this psalm stood out to you, Roger?
What
stood out to them? Well, okay. So I'm supposed to have questions, and I didn't do my part very well, did I? I don't have too many. Marcus can help me out here, because he made that assignment and probably had some thoughts in mind. Okay, Sylvester, you're ready to answer a question. Where did judgment come from?
God.
That's right. That's pretty clear in this, isn't it? That's what we were talking about, too. What about there's three things here that it says do not do. Four things. Can somebody name one of those?
Don't.
Okay.
Do not boast in yourselves.
Okay.
Don't accuse God of wrongdoing.
That's right. Those are the four things. And what are the places that it says that judgment does not come from?
The mountains.
Okay. What else?
East and west.
East and west, or sun. Right. Clayton, what does it say is in the Lord's hand? And he spills it from side to side.
The wine.
The wine, right. Unmixed wine. Which can represent his wrath, but it could also represent a blessing. But I'm not reading that here too well, and this whole psalm seems to be talking about his judgment there. Alrighty. Did you answer one, Roger?
No.
The writer here says, I shall describe all your wonders when I what? And I seize what?
Face.
Anybody? Seize the?
The opportunity.
Opportunity. That's right. And I don't know what it sounds like. It's talking about Jesus there. But it may not be all together, but that's important for us to look for that opportunity, to seize the opportunity, and not just see it, okay, there it is, but to get a hold of it, to grab it, and to make it ours for describing His wonders. And another place in the Bible it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And other times it talks about the righteous telling forth the things of God, and whenever the opportunity arises, it says another place, be ready always to give an answer to the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that's seizing the opportunity. Okay. You can put your seat. And the big boys can come back.
Verse 9 kind of stood out to me where it talked about the unmixed wine being the Lord's hand. And I kind of thought it was talking about God's wrath too. They just tipped it side to side and a little spill out here or there. It just kind of caught my attention, and He'll empty the cup on Judgment Day.
I got the same as verse 9 where it says a cup in the Lord's hand of unmixed wine. Then I remembered or found these verses in Revelation where it says, Revelation 14 verses 9 and 10. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb."
Verse 10 kind of stuck out to me. "But I shall rejoice, but I shall greatly rejoice forever. I shall sing to the God of Jacob."
Then verse 5 it says, "When I said to those who transgress the law, do not transgress the law. And to those who sin, I said, do not exalt yourselves. Do not boast in yourselves. Do not accuse God of wrongdoing. For judgment comes neither from the sunrise nor the sunset, nor from the mountains of the desert. For God is judge." So just not, if you sin, you'll be judged. And so.
I heard verse 7. "But God is the judge. He put down one and setteth up another." I just thought about everything that we have and our gifts He gave to us.
And verse 1 where it says we shall praise God, and just no matter what we're doing or whatever happened, we should always praise God.
In verse 1 it says, "We shall give thanks to you, O God. We shall give thanks and call upon your name." They were thanking Him, and so He must have helped them through their trouble in the last song.
I was thinking about how this psalm just kind of gives the idea of judgment coming from God and nobody else, and He's the one we're going to answer to and in the end, so it doesn't matter what people think or what we think about ourselves, or it's just God's the judge.
Kind of verses 6 through 8 kind of stuck out to me. Verse 6 is, "Do not boast in yourselves and do not accuse God of wrongdoing." Yesterday we had a bunch of stuff we wanted to get done, and we was trying to get stuff done, and we was loading out some cows and had a couple get out, and spent like 4 hours riding around looking for them before we finally found them. And I was riding around looking, it was raining and whatnot, and just thinking, why'd this have to happen? Just kind of asking God, you know, why'd this, you know, we had a lot of things to do today, you know, just kind of, I mean, and I thought, you know, it's not anybody's fault, really. It's just life. That kind of stuff just happens, and, you know, nothing we can do about it. Just find them and get them back in and go on. And then verse 8, too, where it says, for God is judge. This one he brings down, and that brings down low, and the other one he raises up. You know, how we look at things and how God looks at things are two different ways. I mean, he looks at things a lot different than we do.
I had verse 2 where it said, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. I was just thinking about that. Is when you don't false judge, you'll be judged by your actions. He will judge you.
For an assignment for the smaller boys, the example out of the Old Testament where God raised up or lowered someone, and for the older boys, a teaching of Christ and one of the apostles about that. Now the New Testament.